pointedly the loneliness of being afraid to allow myself to be understood. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that the personal revolution is far more difficult than the first step.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. In northern Mexico, just a couple of hours ago, a truck carrying more than 25 tons of dynamite exploded. At least 30 people were killed, more than 140 injured, two dozen of them critically. Today, Congress will hear Iraq progress reports from U.S. Commander David Petraeus and Ambassador Ryan Crocker. Petraeus is expected to say the troop surge is working and should be extended. Seven U.S. soldiers were killed this morning in a vehicle rollover in Baghdad. A U.S. soldier died Sunday of injuries sustained in combat in northern Iraq. The Wall Street Journal reports the U.S. is building a military base adjacent the Iraq-Iran border as part of an effort to stem the supply of Iranian weaponry to the Iraqi insurgency. In Pakistan, former Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif returned from exile today to campaign against President Pervez Musharraf, the man who ousted him in a bloodless coup 8 years ago. Sharif was immediately taken into police custody and deported to Saudi Arabia. Following a plea by Afghani President Hamid Karzai, the Taliban today said they were ready to sit down at the negotiation table. Karzai said peace in his war-torn country would be impossible without dialogue between opposing factions. Ahead of next week's visit by the U.S. Secretary of State, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas met today in Jerusalem to discuss Palestinian statehood. Federal investigators say Medicare insurance companies failed to return to consumers tens of millions of dollars collected improperly. The report says the administration failed to properly audit the companies. It's been a week since millionaire adventurer Stephen Fawcett disappeared in a small plane over the Nevada wilderness. Searchers say hopes of finding the 63-year-old alive are dimming. Near Baltimore, a teenage college student trapped in his wrecked car for more than a week managed to crawl out and find help on an adjacent highway. The 18-year-old survived, strapped in his seatbelt upside down in a creek by catching fish. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Tired of all the griping? Got to get away from the propaganda of the left and the right? Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific right here on the Quality News Network for America Back on Track with me, your correspondent, Tony Seaton. We don't wallow in the dialectic between the donkeys and the elephants. America Back on Track rises above the fray, representing the people's right, the people's need to know. America Back on Track from the Quality News Network puts the news in context, delivers scintillating interviews and commentary, all part of a conversation with America. America Back on Track is for information-hungry Americans who know how vital it is to the health of the country that the citizens know the facts. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML 1410 AM in the Monterey area and streaming live online at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
More than two-thirds of the globe's polar bears and all of them in Alaska will die off by the year 2050, victims of climate change and thinning Arctic ice. That's according to the U.S. Geologic Survey. The Los Angeles City Council is considering following the lead of other municipalities nationwide in banning new construction of fast food restaurants in certain neighborhoods. Chipmaker Intel has broken ground in China to construct its first computer microchip factory in Asia. The $2.5 billion plant is scheduled for completion in 2010. Advanced Micro Devices today will unveil its new server chip, the first from the company to offer four computing engines on one chip. The launch of the newly designed Opteron is expected to sharpen the chipmaker's competitive edge against rival Intel. The Lundberg survey says the average per gallon price of gas rose 6.5 cents last week. The highest prices at the pump were found in Chicago, the lowest in New Jersey. Light sweet crude is trading at $75.68 a barrel. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is up 58 points, NASDAQ up 21, the S&P 500 is up 6 points. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
I'm here. I'm live. It's Chicago, and we're on the Head On Radio Network. Wake the hell up, everybody. What the hell are you still doing asleep? What's wrong with you? It's 11 o'clock on the East Coast. Why aren't you out of bed? Why aren't you up there exercising? Why aren't you up there looking for work or working? What's wrong with you? Why can't you be more like your brother over there? Look at him. He's working hard. He's digging them ditches over there. You think he's asleep at this hour? No. How is everybody doing today? I'm Joe Vecchio, and yes, I am live. I took a week off to do some job search to try to get some work, so I'm not in this lousy situation that I'm in right now. But haven't got any hooks yet. Haven't gotten anything yet, just yet. It takes a while to find a decent job. It takes a while, unfortunately. And I wish it didn't. I wish it would be just easy as a hi. I want a job. Okay. I wish it was that easy. It would make my life a lot better. But of course, anybody knows who's out there looking for work, and I am looking for work again, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. Anybody knows, especially now, it's really, really tough to find decent work. I mean, and I'm not just finding work. I mean, I could probably go out and get a crappy job at McDonald's or something like that. But you know what? You know, as I tell people, look, it's not good enough. Making minimum wage, making anything less than $10 an hour really is not good enough. Got to find something that hopefully nets me about $15 an hour, so that not only can I pay the rent and pay the bills, because I'm late on the rent and late on the bills as always. And if it wasn't for the help of friends like my roommate and my new upstairs neighbor, I still haven't gotten August rent. I just got August rent yesterday. To give to the landlord. Okay, that's how bad things are. And I think I'm bad off, but I know people who are like 2 months behind on their mortgage. For some people from the Bar Cop chat room. And they're nice people and they work hard, but they can't keep up. I don't know, I didn't ask about their specific situation, but a lot of people are having that same problem where they just can't keep things up because they're not making enough damn money. And that is a big problem with the world. I hope everybody's doing well. It's finally cooling down here in Chicago. And was that right, what I heard on the news, that the gas prices are highest here in Chicago than anywhere else in the country? You know, when I moved up here just about a year ago, when I moved up here, I moved here intentionally, because I wanted to avoid having to own a vehicle again. And I'm kind of glad I did. I mean, with the public transportation here, it's the second largest public transportation in the country, second largest system. Only New York has a bigger transportation system than Chicago. And I did this on purpose so that I could take advantage of that. And my budget for travel is $20 a week. That's how much it costs for an unlimited pass for the week. Now, some people say, well, you shouldn't buy the unlimited pass because that's $20 and you make. Well, you know, if you use it every day for 5 days, back and forth to work, even if you don't have any transfers, then it's worth it. And if you take any side trips, you know, you're saving money, because where they kill you here in Chicago is it's $2 to ride if you pay with cash, $1.75 if you use the fare card. But they charge you for transfers, and you know, every time you and you only get like a couple of transfers, and it wears off after a while. So you could really wind up. I remember once I had to do a couple of things, and instead of buying a daily pass, which is $5, I went out and I just used a regular card, and it wound up costing me $6-7. And I'm like, why am I doing this? I could have spent $5 for a daily pass, and you know, I could have still used it after I finished what I needed to do. So I buy the weekly passes because I can't afford to buy the monthly passes, which are $75. But Chicago, you know, and Chicago is a great driving city, really. What I've noticed about traffic here, it's really doesn't seem to be that bad, but it's a lousy parking city. If you've got a car, what's going to kill you is paying for parking. I've got my upstairs neighbor, basically, he rented out. We've got a garage here behind the house, and he basically renting that out for $200 a month. He's paying $200 a month just so he can park without getting a ticket. It's incredible. But anyway, I'm here, and I did take a week off, and I really did need it to clear my head a little bit and get concentrate more on the job search. I must have sent out about 300 resumes over the last week. We'll see if I get one response. I also signed up for unemployment, and I signed up with a few temp services. So maybe I'll get something there pretty soon, hopefully. I really do need to get something by the end of the month, or I might be out on my ass. It's certainly possible. Like I said, I just got August month. And I've been trying to do a fundraiser thing. Oh, there goes the box. My kitty's over there, and she's been scratching on this cardboard box, and she finally pulled it down off the other box. So I'm going to have to deal with that during the break. But anyway, like I was saying, it's tough looking for work, and I really, you know, and it gets so depressing. I want to actually, you know, and part of it is just me because I'm not as good at doing interviews and stuff as I used to be. I'm going to do an invitation. This is me like 10 or 15 years ago on an interview during the 90s when I had a lot more confidence and when things were, you know, a bit better. Good day, Mr. Vecchio, was it? Yes, that's right. Oh, good. Have a seat. Thank you, sir. So, tell me about yourself. Well, you know, I'm very skilled, and I'm looking forward to starting. Well, you sound very confident. Well, yes, sir, I am. There's really nothing I can't do. Well, great. Listen, we'll fill out the paperwork, and we'll get you started on Monday. Does that sound good to you? That's fine, sir. Looking forward to working here. Thank you, sir. Here's me on an interview now. Good day, Mr. Vecchio, is it? Well, let's see. You know, I see that you have a lot of different computer skills, right? Well, yes. Well, thank you, Mr. Vecchio. Listen, I'm afraid that I really can't do anything for you because if I were to hire you, I would be shot. No, that's okay. You can leave out the window here. We've got a little ladder you can roll down so that nobody sees you leave. That's basically my interviews lately. And I don't know why. There's no reason I should be nervous going into an interview anymore. But I'm like that now. How you doing, Mr. Vecchio? I'll get over that. I'm going to have to get over that. But I also helped my upstairs neighbor move 12 hours work. Moving around. And he threw a few bucks my way, which was nice of him. And, you know, fed me a nice lunch, but it was a lot of hard work. This guy had a ton of stuff, and I feel bad because he had this big, beautiful saltwater aquarium, and those things are really difficult to move when they're full, and all of his fish wound up dying, unfortunately, in the move, and that was really, really sad because these were kind of expensive fish, and I hate that because I love aquariums and I love fish. Fish to me are the best pets in the world. I mean, I like cats and I like dogs and all that. They're fine. But I have a grandfatherly attitude toward these animals. So, anyway, listen, let's take our first break. I got some stuff to talk about. I got some interesting stuff. We've got a lot of news going on, a lot of things happening. Now, if you want to give me a call, the number to call is 877-443-2366. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any courses like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office, 1-888-384-5249.
It's Monday. The UN still refuses to speak up against foreign governments who are exterminating their GLBT citizens. And in the U.S., another gay man was beaten to death. Tired of it? Join me tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern for Strictly Confidential.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
All right, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe radio show. Once again, your number to call in. If you want to call in, and I do want to hear from you, I like to talk to you. I like to talk to people. I like to have conversations because that's what we do here on the Head On Radio Network. We have conversations. This is conversation radio, not confrontation radio. The number to call in, if you want to call in and talk to me, 304-658-5453. 304. Write it down. 304-658-5453. And the toll-free number, 877-443-2366. 877-4 head on. If you can use a 304 number, if you've got free minutes on your cell phones, use the 304 number. If not, you're welcome to use the toll-free number. But, you know, it's all good. It's all good one way or the other. Yes, I did apply for unemployment, by the way. I'm going to be getting $116. I had them take 10% out for taxes because I don't want to BS of when my income tax comes through of owing money to these guys. That's the last thing I need. So, yeah, and I'll be my own boss, but what can I do? John Fox in the chat room. By the way, if you want to come to the Head On Radio chat room and join us, just go to headonradionetwork.com. And click on the live chat link or the chat room link, and you can get to talk to some of the smartest people on the internets there. And we have myself, and I'm in there right now, of course. My boss and our good friend Bob Kincaid is there. John Fox, who was just on the air, also live. I'm glad to have him back live on a regular basis. Our good friend ELO, the gal from California, my friend Ray Hinckley from UnreportedNews.net, and our good friend Suzanne. Everybody's out there hanging out in the chat room. And having a good old time. A good old time. General Petraeus has given his report today. The big, everybody got, you have to wait till September to hear this. You have to wait till September. September is the magic month when we'll know when everything's gone. Everybody should shut the hell up until September when the general gives his report. And, of course, it's not his report. It's the Bush administration's report. Mr. Petraeus, or as other people call him, Betrayus, is expected, because the thing was already prepared in advance by the White House, to say, oh, the surge is working and we should wait another 6 months. And that was the article I saw in the New York Times yesterday, and it just shook my head, because you knew, everybody knew it. It's like a little kabuki theater. Digby's been going on about that quite a bit. It's just like this little kabuki. Oh, we should wait another 6 months. And there's good old Joe Lieberman saying, well, you know, as Atrios pointed out this morning, in the style that only he can give, well, you know, Joe Lieberman, he says everything we did before was totally screwed up, but the snow plan is really awesome, so shut up. They're going to drag this thing out interminably, and the reason they're going to be able to do that is because they can get away with it. Is because the Democratic leadership is too cowardly to stand up to a president with a 30% approval rating, and our so-called professional media is not even bothering to report anything above and beyond, you know, he said, she said. Well, some people think the war is good, but other people think the war is bad. What's the truth? What's the reality? Ah! And there's Katie Couric going to Iraq, telling us how wonderful everything's there, except for, you know, the occasional, you know, dead body. Oh, gross. Well, I'm here in Iraq. Oh, gross. I'm going to drive around on this golf cart. And it's just sickening to watch this. And Some of us are just wondering, is it all over? Is the American Republic really dead for good? Because realistically, we have a situation where we've got a president that's pretty much doing anything he wants. We've got an administration that's pretty much doing anything they want. And nobody's stopping them. We've got one president and 34 senators basically running the show. And what are we going to do to stop it? Now, I've been calling, and I've been talking about this for a while. Me being the militant bastard that I am, my idea was much larger than this, but I have been calling for a general strike for some time, because if you really, really want to make a point, if you really, really want to let them know what's going on, you need to have a general strike. But you know what? Before I talk about that, let's talk to our good friend Michelle from California. Hi, Michelle. How are you?
I'm fine, Joe. Hey, I know it's hard to find. Especially, wouldn't it be wonderful to find something you could do? You could command the post, but like what you're doing now, and get paid for it. I just someday, Joe, we're going to take over the media. Damn it! And those damn companies. You know, don't we own the airwaves? Anyway.
I don't think we own anything anymore.
No, I don't think so.
We're lucky they let us live, frankly.
Yeah. Hey, I called because this weekend I watched this video called The Shock Doctrine by Naomi Klein. Have you ever heard of her?
Not right offhand,
no. Don't worry about it. Anyways, she's written a book, and this is just a short clip, and it really is based on how our society shocks, you know, people. And it starts out with showing footage, you know, old footage about when they start, psychologists or psychiatry started using shock therapy. And they show the footage of literally shocking these people. And then it talks about the military going, oh, wow, we could use that, you know. And when it comes down to is, you know, the fact is that, yes, people will be caught off guard, they'll be in shock, there's a residual that hangs with people when, you know, they've been attacked, that they give reference to the CIA interrogation techniques and you know, you want them to keep feeling that, like they're in shock, that they can't get their bearings. And that's really what it, you know, kind of how she put it. A lot of the people that have watched it and made comments on it were saying how it, how do you say, how it doesn't represent anything, and she's just using shock to shock others. And I know that's kind of redundant in what I just said, but the fact is that this denial that the American people are in, you know, I've been having a hard time understanding my neighbors, my fellow citizens ignoring what's going on, like you were saying, you know, about people going bankrupt, people foreclosures, and I after we felt in the 80s of Reagan effects and Bush effects, it's and maybe in the just in the Midwest, I don't know. I don't know why people aren't recalling this, because I mean, I'm 44 and I remember, you know, inflation and how people lost farms and homes and families were homeless, and I don't understand. And maybe this is it, because otherwise, if this isn't if people aren't in shock, then I don't have any excuse for my fellow citizens. I mean, I'm really doing the best I can to hold it. My
oh, I hear you. I hear you, and I understand what
outrage.
You're saying.
You know.
Well, you know, those of us who tend to pay a little bit more attention to these things, and I'll be frank that I didn't really start to become politically aware about things until the late 80s or so, maybe the mid 80s. And the first thing I noticed right away when I started to pay attention to politics was that pretty much everybody who was a supporter of the Republican parties was an a-hole. You know, they're just a bunch of, you know, mindless, you know, like the college bully or the high school bully jerks, just wanted to push people around. And it really just seemed to me that there was a lot of stuff going on that I just couldn't comprehend and couldn't understand, and I've tried to learn about it. And the more I've tried to learn about it, the more I want to pull my hair out, because it just seems so blatantly, straightforwardly evil, that you want to do something about it, and everybody else is just like, why don't you shut up and get a job? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, pull yourself up by your strap boots, or bootstraps. Little dyslexia there, sorry. No, I mean, I guess I got to share this story with you guys, because it happened yesterday. Went to my local family-owned coffee shop, and some teenage girls were out there, and they came in and they said, there's a girl out there, either we don't know if she's still alive, she's laying on the ground. And I noticed them, they were kind of giggling, and then they came in, you know, still concerned. And so, you know, being the adult that I am, I went out there, this little girl laying on the ground, and she had a can of you've seen that computer blowing cleaning aerosol thing where you can clean your keys with it.
Yeah, it's got aerosol. A little plastic straw, thin straw sticking out
of
it.
Well, they inhale that, Joe. Now they're inhaling that. See, we outlaw all these things. We outlaw paint, we outlaw glue, but, you know, instead of dealing with the issue of why kids are inhaling, so they find something else.
Well, you know, I just read somewhere that teenage suicide is through the roof, but I'm sorry, I'll let you go on.
She was passed out. I mean, I even, for a second, thought the young lady had expired. She's skin and bones. She washed out blonde hair. You know, you've seen them. Kind of that, they call it the emo look, you know, frumpy in front. And she's passed out, and these young girls are like, is she alive? And so I touched her stomach because it was sunken in. And I'm going to get emotional on this. So I got her to come to. And I said, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, just leave me alone. And then I said, well, let me get you something to drink. No, I'm okay. Well, we called the paramedics. She hears the sirens, and she stumbles her way up. As she gets up, I look in her purse. She's got a big bottle of Southern Comfort. The girls have found out she was 15. She gets up, she stumbles off, the cop goes after her. Well, then I feel terrible because we tried to get the bottle of alcohol away from her. She's standing there and the cop's interrogating her, you know, and the ambulance comes and, you know, I'm like, you guys, you need to take her to the hospital. Please take, this young lady's got a problem. Well, they put the handcuffs on her, they check her out, you know, she's cussing at them, which of course she is.
Well, let me ask you a question real quick. When the cop was interrogating her, was he doing it in like a mean way or a nasty way, or did he seem genuinely concerned about?
He was pretty good. He just
so he was really concerned about her. He was concerned about her then. Okay.
Yeah, luckily. But what happened was they had to put her in handcuffs because she refused to go. Well, of course she's refusing to go. Nobody has ever offered her probably a consistency of help and concern, and so she can't differentiate. She doesn't know what's good for her. You know, she just knows they're harassing her, and she's feeling like shit because she passed out from inhaling this crap. So I asked that they asked me questions. I told them what the situation was, and I said, well, you're taking her to the hospital, aren't you? And yes, we're going to take her. I said, well, are you going to get her into a program? I mean, what can you do, or what's going to happen? Well, you know, we just hope that, you know, there's nothing we can do. We can take her to the hospital and she can get herself out, or her parents can get her out. But, you know, nobody knew this young lady. This is a local coffee shop. Nobody knew her. This is going to happen more often. But what was sad, what was mostly sad, and back to the neighbors and people not caring, my neighbor, who is really a pretty good guy, I get back, I'm telling my husband, my neighbor's standing there. And he says, well, I don't feel sorry. That's what she gets for being stupid.
Yeah.
Well, I lost it. Like I said, I'm having a hard time holding it in. I said, excuse me? Your son is 15 years old. How would you like it if you had no idea? If you were working, you know, 72 hours a week and your wife was working 70, you know, and this kid's out. Or how would you like it if you didn't have your faculties about you, but your offspring was out there struggling to survive? I mean, I just, poor guy, went on. I said, excuse me, I need to, you know, I hated to be so, but that was just intolerant and callous, as my husband said. He can't believe that someone we know pretty well is that callous. And that's society in the U.S. today.
Well, is it, you know, and the thing about it is that could be construed as callousness, but it also could be construed as, you know, hey, I got my own problems. And everybody's feeling the pinch these days, and it's very hard for people to feel sorry for other people. So I'm not saying that, you know, what they think is right, but
yeah, no, I'm compassionate. I felt bad, you know, but you're right. I mean, everybody's kind of overwhelmed. But we shouldn't divide. I mean, we shouldn't, you know, if anything, that should make us want to pull together more, you know.
Yeah, but we don't have any sense of community anymore, and that's really the problem. I mean, we only have, right now, for the most part, everybody's concentrating on themselves and their immediate friends and family, and very few people have any concept of a community above and beyond that. You see what I'm saying? We're not Americans anymore. We live, you know, it's our household. It's our little neighborhood. And even among neighborhoods, when you had situations where people were buying houses and just hanging out there for a couple of years until the property values went up and then selling them, what does that do to a neighborhood? Nobody talks anymore. When I was growing up, all the kids on the block, all the families on the block, pretty much up and down Hart Street, you would see them out in the summertime with all their little lounge chairs sitting on the front porch just talking about events, talking about stuff. People don't do that anymore. People, you know, they sit at home and they watch their 500-channel digital cable TV, or they get on the Internet. And even on the Internet, people try to make communities like we do here in the chat room, you know?
I was just going to say, I mean, think about it head on, you know? I mean,
sure.
You all said it, the front porch.
Yeah, but you know what? But still, for the most part, people aren't doing stuff like that. And it's only the people like us, the people who have been paying attention and the people who are concerned about not just what's happening in our communities, but what's happening in the country and around the world, We're the ones who are having these conversations. Everybody else is, well, I'm doing my job, and I'm making my money, and I'm supporting myself for the moment, so everybody else can go screw. And that's what we've got.
Well, I am guilty of thinking in my head after yesterday, and this is terrible. I told my husband, this is terrible of me to think. But I can't see the citizens of this country doing anything until the majority of them feel something called pain and suffering. I mean, you know, the struggles that, I mean, think about it. In the 80s, I mean, at first, you know, a few farmers, okay, a few families losing out. I mean, it took a while. It took
sure.
a while for people to feel it.
Dust Bowl, Grateful Dead type stuff.
I know that's terrible, but, I mean, like you said, what's going to get them out of the, you know, hey, I'm doing okay, you know, I'm working, I'm holding myself up. If they can't hold themselves up, well, that's their loss. This
yeah, exactly.
is free America. You can get a job if you want a job, you know. Anyway, so that's where I'm coming from, Joe. Do I have any good jokes? Oh, I do. The little boy or young man at the coffee shop told me, what do you get when you have a box with four ducks in it?
A box of quackers?
Oh, Joe knows that one.
That was one from elementary school.
I love it. It's like, what did the constipated mathematician do?
What?
He worked it out with a pencil.
Oh.
All right. I love you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks a lot, Michelle. Oh,
talk
man.
To you later. Bye.
Oh. I got to recover from that one. Listen, let's take a... Well, we're going to go ahead and take our bottom of the hour break now. It's a little late, but that's okay because, like I said, we're conversation radio and we want to talk. We talk through the bottom of the hour break. Well, let's do that, and then we'll just come back and we'll finish up the show. Wins News is coming up next. Puffy on the Emmy break. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show.
This is The Horn, the head-on radio network.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
Those were sounds from a University of Minnesota Board of Regents meeting on Friday when more than 100 supporters of the U of M striking workers essentially shut down the meeting. Clerical, technical, and healthcare workers at the university are on strike, demanding a raise of 3.25%, equal to what other state employees have received. The meeting occupation on Friday resulted in five protesters leaving in handcuffs as they blocked the exit when a recess was called. The only regent to remain in his seat to hear out the protesters was Stephen Hunter, who is also Secretary-Treasurer of Minnesota's AFL-CIO.
We have a problem right now. Our support staff are not happy. They're not working. This is hurting them. This is hurting the university. There's a necessity for us to get back to the table. I know my conversations with the president, he wants to get a settlement. I'm hoping we can get one as soon as possible. And I hope that we can get this contract behind us, that we can get a fair offer on the table that can be ratified, and then we can heal the wounds that have been created in this community.
More than 3,000 workers, represented by the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, are at strike at U of M campuses across the state. During a rally outside of the region's meeting, a number of workers told stories of how they are suffering without a proper wage increase. Lori Eisenshank, with her home in foreclosure, only has one luxury left.
Caller ID. That's been necessary so they like screen calls and bill collectors.
Currently, no new negotiations have been scheduled between the workers and the University of Minnesota.
Congress may now be the best hope for stopping Bush's Mexican truck plan in its tracks. The Teamsters' Leslie Miller says, despite public outrage and the will of Congress, an obscure federal agency has let a few reporters know that the first Mexican truck is being allowed unrestricted access to the U.S.
The Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, as obscure an agency as you'll find in the Bush administration, called some reporters and said, we're going to have a conference call, and that's the way they announced that they're going to let the first Mexican truck into the country to travel wherever it wants around the United States.
Miller says people who are upset with the safety and job loss issues of letting Mexican trucks carry freight across the U.S. can do something to stop this.
If people are upset about this, and I am hearing from a lot of people who are very, very upset about this, there's something they can do. They can call or write or email their U.S. senator and urge their senator to block this program.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Are you fed up with the Democrats and Republicans, tired of the catfighting between the left and the right? You'll want to listen to America Back on Track. America Back on Track from the Quality News Network is a true alternative, a new national radio voice for people who put America before political party and special money interests. America Back on Track is for people who want to restore the values that made our country great. Quality, integrity, purpose, compassion, humility, and strength. America Back on Track delivers the news and perspective, engaging listeners with intelligent interviews and stimulating commentary. Wouldn't you rather hear smart people talking about new directions instead of ideologues pushing their propaganda? Tune in to America Back on Track weekdays at noon Pacific right here or online at thequalitynewsnetwork.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Betty Davis Eyes. Love that song. Good to be back. I was listening to that bit from Wynn's news there, and man, that really ticks me off. I know a little bit about that, and actually this is one of those rare cases where the wing nuts are right, although they are right for all the wrong reasons. Of course, their stuff is targeted Mexicans, you know, them dirty blah blah blahs. But the truth of the matter is, with these truckers, and the trucks themselves, which are generally very old trucks that have been bought from the United States because they're not roadworthy here, they wouldn't be allowed on the roads here, and that's what the real issue is. And plus the fact that these truckers are going to be working for basically slave wages, and they're going to be made to work, drive for, you know, in some cases 30, 40 hours straight without sleep. You know, it's a dangerous situation because the people who run the companies are interested in making as much profit as possible while giving as little as possible to the ones that make things actually work, and that is the working people and the working people of Mexico. And I don't blame them. I don't blame these Mexicans. They're doing what they have to do to survive, just like we all are. But the thing about it is, it's all part of a general lowering of standards that's going on. And it's all part of an ideology that simply says, you know, let the rich get what they want, it all trickle down, and that's just baloney. Paul Krugman had an article today in the New York Times dealing with that, talking about how trickle down hasn't worked. I mean, you know, they've been giving nothing but tax breaks to the rich, more money to corporations, more money to the top 5%, and where is it going? It's not going down to us. As I've said time and time again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and all the ships at sea, there is only one thing that trickles down. Or as we used to say, there's only one thing that rolls downhill. And we're all getting dumped on. And we seem powerless to stop it. And yes, it does seem to be a huge effort to try to put a dent in this. Because like I said, we've got a president who's got a 30% approval rating, and he's doing whatever he wants. He is doing anything he wants, and nobody's stopping him. But you want to put a dent in the machine, and I've been talking about this for some time. I've been talking about this for a while, and nobody's paying attention. But I'm talking about a general strike. If you want to prove to them who the motor of the world is, who really makes things run, let's shut the country down. Now, my good friend Tony, a.k.a. Monkey Fister, has started something where he wants to shut the country down on October the 17th. Basically, what it is a consumer strike. Now, I call for something a lot more stringent. I tell everybody, don't go to work for a month. Do nothing. Oh, crap. Hang on a second. Hang on. Sorry about that. The cat was screaming at me to get out of the room. In Ayn Rand's book, Atlas Shrugged, she proposed the theory, a false theory, that there are only a few people in this world that make things run. Mainly rich industrialists, of course. And you got to remember, Ayn Rand grew up, for the most part, in communist Russia, so I can understand her frustration and seeing how things were going. I can understand it. But in her book, the premise of the book, for those of you who have not read it, and I do not recommend you read it unless you want your brain to turn to water because it's so ridiculous. The characters are so ridiculous. The premise is so ridiculous. The idea is that these rich industrialists basically go on strike. They stop doing stuff, and naturally everything stops because, you know, they're the ones that make things work, right? The motor of the world is what they call themselves. That's bull. We are the motor of the world. We are the motor of the world. And I want the word to go out right now that we need to get a general strike to show people we're the motor of the world. To show people who makes things run in this country. And this is a call out to all the hosts here on the Head On Radio Network to talk about this and to get this going. October 17th. Let's shut the country down. Nobody buy anything. As many people as they can, take a day off of work. Take a sick day if you can afford it, if you've got one. Take a sick day. Take a day off. Buy nothing. Stay home. Make it a consumer strike. And along with this, let's start really massively boycotting some of these big corporations. Let's start boycotting McDonald's. Let's start boycotting Coke and Pepsi and all these big corporations. Buy local. Go to your local grocer. Don't go to the big chain supermarkets anymore. Shut them down. Then they'll listen. We live in a consumer-oriented society. They're always trying to get you to buy more and new stuff. Buy more and new stuff. Get more and new things. We got my upstairs neighbor, and he's got 500-channel digital cable satellite. And I'm like, why? And you're spending a lot of money on that, but why? What's the point in it? 500, what the hell do you need 500 channels for? How many channels are that you actually watch? Maybe 6, maybe 7. We got to shut the country down. October 17th, ladies and gentlemen, let's shut the country down. Buy nothing. Stay home. Go out and meet your neighbors. Go out and visit a local diner and give your money there if you haven't done so. The problem with the big corporations, and I've got nothing against big business in general, but the problem with corporations, and I've said this before, the problem with McDonald's is not that they want to make money by selling inexpensive food quickly to people. That's not their problem. Their problem is that they want to rule the world. The problem with Coca-Cola is not that they want to make money selling a flavored drink to people. The problem is that the Coca-Cola company wants to rule the world. That's what the damn problem is. And they take the money from the profits they make and they buy politicians, both local and national, to make laws that benefit them at our expense. And then other companies turn around and they pay gas bags like Rush Limbaugh and Neil Bortz to spread the lie that it's all up to us, that if we're not making millions of dollars, there's something wrong with us, there's something wrong with you if you're not making millions of dollars. And as I've said time and time again, if you want to know why the country's carded, that's why. Because this stuff goes out into every workplace, into every car on the road, all across the country, constantly, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And we in the Head On Radio Network, we're trying to put an end to that, or at least we're trying to counter that by telling people you're being lied to, you're being stolen from. And the normal grounds of politics are not working. When you have a president that's got a 33% approval rating, who can do whatever the hell he wants, that's wrong. And now they're getting ready to attack Iran, from what I'm hearing. I'm hoping it's not true. I'm hoping it's not true. But my point is, if Mr. Bush wanted to do it and he's really planning on doing it, who's going to stop him? The only possible way to stop him is if the generals and the soldiers on the ground say no. That's our only hope right now. And I wouldn't count on that happening. For as far as the commanders are concerned, the commanders can refuse, but they'll just be replaced in turn by those who will obey the orders of the president and who think the president is above the law. If you want to put a dent in it, you got to hit them where it hurts, and that's in the pocketbook. That's the only way you can hurt them. And the best way you can do that is to not buy anything. Now me, I call for a general strike for a month. And I tell people, take a month off. Refuse to pay any bills for that month. If we all do it, what are they going to do? They can't foreclose on everybody. They can't shut the electricity off on anybody. The only people who would be exempt from this are very small local shops, grocers, police, fire, people who provide the utilities, the important stuff, the necessary stuff. But other than that, don't go into Walmart. If you see somebody going into Walmart to buy something or to work, shame them into going home or beat the crap out of them. Do I advocate violence? No. But if it's the only way to get things done, what else have you got? If you see the cops start ragging on people, shame them into stopping, because we're working for them too. The cops don't realize that they're being lied to. They're being stolen from as well. Same with the firemen. Just ask the firemen what they think about Rudy Giuliani, who took all the credit for the work they did and turned around and screwed them over after 9/11. We've got a tarted country, ladies and gentlemen. And we've got a broken system. And we have to go outside the system in order to fix that. And one of the ways to do that is to shut the country down. October 17th, and I want the word to go out to every host on the Head On Radio Network to talk about this, to mention it on their shows. Bob Kincaid, I know you're out there. I'm not sure you can mention it on your show. John Fox just left. I sent him an email about that. Everybody bring it up. Let's get it up on the other blogs. Let's get it up on as many news outlets as we can get it. October 17th, shut the country down. Shut it down for one day and see what happens. Shut it down for one day and see what happens. And if nobody listens, shut it down for a week. Then shut it down for a month. Shut it down for 2 months. Let me tell you something. That top 5%, the problem with having all that money is you become addicted to it. You want to know why the big media people won't do the news? Because their jobs depend on them repeating the lies. Their jobs depend upon it. And they make a lot of money, ladies and gentlemen. It used to be years ago, most people got their news from newspapers. Before television, before radio news was really, really big, most people got their news from newspapers. And the people who wrote those stories, the beat reporters, generally made about the same kind of money that everybody else made. Maybe a little more, maybe a little less. Doesn't matter. Nowadays, most people get their news from television, from news anchors that make far more money than they do, and who don't have a clue as to what's going on in anything up above and beyond their little sphere. And what's worse are the Washington punditocracy, who make huge sums of money for lying or for getting things wrong, as Atrios calls them, the very serious people who have been wrong about everything. You want to put a dent in it, you shut the country down. October the 17th, shut the whole thing down. They don't make a penny without us, ladies and gentlemen. They don't make a dime without us. and they know it, and what they're mostly scared to death of is that we'll find that out. If we all stick together, there's absolutely nothing they can do. Those poor Mexican workers driving those trucks, don't blame them, because that's what they want you to do. And that's why the ring nuts, even though they're right in the general issue, they're wrong as to why they're doing it, because they're blaming it on the Mexicans. It's not the damn Mexicans' fault. The Mexicans are doing what you would do under the same situation, is trying to support themselves and raise their families. Don't let them distract you. Don't let them fool you. Those are not your enemies. The Mexicans are not your enemy. The Vietnamese and the Chinese and the people from India, these are not your enemies. They're people just like you and me. And if you ask any of them, I bet you 90% of them would say they don't want to have war with their neighbors. They just want to raise their families. They just want to have a world where they can live in peace and happiness, pursue happiness of their own end. But what we've got is a bunch of people who want to take away our happiness so they can have a little bit more money that they don't need. Do I want a utopian society? I don't believe in utopian societies. I don't think they exist. Can we make a perfect world? I don't think so. I'm not even sure if we can make a good world, but if we all stick together, we can make a better world. And I want a world where everybody's not a bunch of miserable pukes working for a bunch of greedy bastards. And that's what it basically boils down to. Because those poor Mexican guys are pretty damn miserable, I bet you. Just like you're miserable at your job, and you're afraid to do anything because you know you say the wrong thing, you do the wrong thing, your job is gone, and you wind up like me, sleeping on an air mattress in an empty room with a computer desk that's basically trash held up by boxes, using equipment that's been given to me because I can't afford to buy stuff. And that's what people are afraid of. They're afraid of becoming me, of the shame that comes from not having enough money just to buy the basic necessities, to pay your rent, to pay your bills. Why do I have problems? Maybe it's because I won't put up with the BS as much as other people. Maybe I'm just lazy. Maybe I'm just stupid. I don't know. But the point of the matter is, if we all stick together, things like that wouldn't happen to anybody. And that poor girl that Michelle mentioned, we would have systems and situations and things in place to help people like that. And all the money that we spend on war and hate and killing, you know, the reason why we can't do any of these decent social programs is because we're wasting all of our damn money. It's all going to Halliburton. It's all going to Bechtel. It's all going to McDonald's and Ford and GM and all these companies that get huge, huge subsidies. If you go to BartCop.com, sometimes he puts up these little graphics